Gospel according to Luke, we are in the fourth chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It's written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered them, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. To begin with, this text, this story from Luke, is all about Jesus. I know, that's kind of obvious, but when we come to worship, maybe you do this, I do this, when I come to worship, sometimes I'm looking for a little bit of advice. I messed up. I did something, maybe it was wrong, not ideal. I need some wisdom. I need to come to Jesus and receive a word of forgiveness, but also maybe a way that I could walk in the path a little more clearly, get a little bit more control, get myself back into shape. I'm looking for some sort of a model. Maybe you come to worship looking for a model, looking for an idea of how we can walk in the world. And in this text, this story that's about Jesus, there's not a lot to find because it's about Jesus. It's hard to find ourselves in this text. Maybe one thing we could pull away from this is that we're supposed to avoid temptation. Maybe that's the mantra we can have in the back of our minds. We need to avoid more temptation. And for some of us, maybe we have that story too. We have that story where we were able to, with our willpower, or maybe our family member or someone who we love, they had that strength and that courage within them that they could put down the cigarettes, they could put down the bottle, they could put down the addiction, they could avoid the website, they could do whatever they needed to do, kick the habit. They got themselves clean. They got themselves straight. They got themselves on a better financial plane. We hear these success stories about kicking the habit, about avoiding temptation, and maybe we feel good, or maybe because it's not our story, we feel a little envy. Here's the disconnect with our text, though. Jesus isn't kicking the habit. In fact, Jesus isn't avoiding temptation or avoiding these tests. They come straight at him, and they get poured on. We hear about the big three. We hear about bread. We hear about power. We hear about immortality. But Luke tells us that Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days. He was fasting, which means he was really hungry, and he was a little thirsty, a little worn down. And the devil was sending tests at Jesus every single day. He was constantly being bombarded. And Jesus being Jesus, he perseveres. He endures. He overcomes. You pick your favorite word. He doesn't succumb to any of these tests. None of them seem to break him down. Which means we come to a text like this, and we tell ourselves, clearly Jesus isn't like us. Because if we had any of these temptations, any of these tests, if they were poured upon us, it would be hard for us to pass them up. They're so good. They make so much sense. They fit into how we understand our lives anyway. And we encounter them every single day. That's why we come to worship. That's why we come here. We want guidance from Jesus. We want some sort of an insight. We want wisdom. Maybe we want that mantra. Maybe we want a better book that we can have on our shelf that we can pull down so we can make ourselves better. Because Jesus, he just does it. He is moving through the wilderness, and he is starving, he is bleary-eyed, he is exhausted, and still, he knocks it out of the park. A text like this. What can we possibly learn about ourselves with a text like this? We probably feel more like observers. You know, it's like a sporting event where we get our seats and we're sitting up in the amphitheater and Jesus and the devil are down on the main stage and they're kind of doing their thing and we've got our popcorn, or maybe we could say we have our bread, and we're sitting there and we're eating and we've got our programs and we're watching the whole thing unfold and Jesus wins because Jesus always wins. And then when it's all done, we finish up our bread and we finish up our programs and we recycle them properly. And then we go on our way, back into our lives, where the temptations that we encounter don't look like this, they don't smell like this, they don't taste anything like what Jesus has. Doesn't discount what Jesus has to endure, but how many of us have been asked by the devil to turn a rock into bread? Especially turn a rock into maybe a crunchy, warm, aromatic French bread? By the way, if you have that superpower, please talk to the Altar Guild. We would love to have more people who can make bread. I'm assuming you don't. Because these aren't our temptations. These aren't our tests. So they don't fit with our worldview. They don't fit with how we understand the world. Our tests are much more down to earth. They're much more basic. They're much more part of our lives. Getting drawn into the websites and into the apps. Spending maybe too much time on our phone. Looking at too many potions and pills that are going to extend our life or better our life. We get pulled along with ideas that make absolute sense. They fit into our worldview. They fit with how we understand things should work. We don't get these temptations. We don't get tempted to make bread. Though, granted, when we look at that first temptation, Jesus being invited to turn rocks into bread, what the devil is inviting Jesus to do is not just make a loaf of bread. Jesus is being tempted, he's being tested to take care of himself. Because, you know, if he could make bread, then he doesn't need to be fed by anybody else. He would be self-sufficient. He would be independent. He would be on his own. He could function in this world without anybody else. He could absolutely walk in this world without encountering one other person. Actually, that sounds familiar as a temptation. Because you and I, we get invited often, daily, through the paper, through our tablets, through various ways and means, to walk in this world by ourselves. That if we need to fix our state, if we need to adjust our lives, if we need to take control and make ourselves better, then it's up to us. And it's only up to us. We can't be leaning on anybody else for help. We shouldn't be running around looking for support from others. We shouldn't be asking for a handout or a hand up. Shouldn't be bothering anybody with our troubles. They're our problems. We deal with them ourselves. We keep them in our house. We hear it all the time. It's in our ears. It's in our thoughts. It's all around us. It will even come from the people who we love. We will be told that our life is our responsibility. It's ours alone. And we got to figure it out. And by the way, we will get told that we have everything we need. If we have to have conversations about inadequate resources and imbalances of power, we can do that at another time. But in general, we are told we got everything we need. And we don't need anybody else. And this self-sufficient, independent, bootstrap thinking, it gets into our heads. And it gets into our hearts. And it convinces us not only that our lives are our responsibility and we can't ask for help, but beyond that, that we are on our own and we are alone. This test will even go so far as to tell us that if we are on our own, if we are alone, if we have to do this by ourselves and we can't ask for help, if we need to persevere in this world by ourselves, then our neighbors must be doing the exact same thing. And if we're all doing the exact same thing, then probably what we are doing is we're competing with each other. So really, it comes down to our neighbor is our adversary. We need to look at them on the side of our eyes because they may be trying to take advantage over us. We get compelled in these tests that we shouldn't even trust each other. We should barely even be talking to each other. Because we're toiling, we're sweating, we're doing all the same things so that we can get that same small pile of rocks. So we might as well just go it alone and do our own thing. And maybe the devil does know us better than we know ourselves. Trying to cut ourselves off, make us independent, but also make us isolated from each other. Trick us into thinking that the only person who matters is number one. And that there's not enough bread for everyone, so we better figure out how to make it for ourselves. And that the only way that we can endure in this world, the temptations continue on, is that we need to gather up a little more power. a little bit more influence, a little bit more say, maybe over how other people function, and then the temptations keep going until they all boil down to that one great fear that we don't want to talk about. We don't want to die. The devil does know us rather well. Survival, immortality, the ability to outlast everybody else, even though we know we can't do that. One day the grave will be waiting for us, but because we're not Jesus, but we do know, we tell ourselves that if we get ourselves up on a high hill or maybe on top of the water tower or the bell tower of this church or just simply sit in our living room, and if we could look around and see all the marks, all the impact that we have made in this world, proof of our permanence, then we will have arrived. The devil knows what we're thinking, how we want power over ourselves. We want to be able to control ourselves. And if we could control ourselves, then maybe we control our kids. And if we could control our kids, maybe we could control our grandkids, or maybe we can control our neighbors, or maybe we can control other people in these pews. Or maybe we control other people in our community. We could even tell them how to live. We could even tell them how to love. We could even tell people how to walk in this world. We want to do everything for ourselves. And we also want to do everything for everybody else. Because we like the prestige. We like the success. We want to know that we're going to last forever. In fact, if we could do it, continuing on with this idea that we're bearing witness to what Jesus and the devil are doing down on the main stage, if we could do it, we would love to get out of our seat and go down on that stage if only we could be Jesus. If only we could have that power. Imagine if we had that wisdom, that intellect, that ability to heal. Imagine if we had the power to cast out demons. Imagine if we could gather up crowds who would follow us around so we could help other people see how we are called to walk in this world. Imagine how great our life would be. We would love to be able to respond to every one of these tests that are thrown at Jesus. We know Jesus can do every single one of these. Actually, they're a cakewalk for him. He can do all of this. He can make bread. He can throw himself off of buildings with a single bound. And he can live forever. Maybe this gospel isn't quite as far from us as it seems. Jesus is being asked by the devil to do really basic things. Make some bread. Keep yourself going. Sustain yourself. And Jesus could do any one of them. In fact, Jesus could do all three of them easily without a second thought. He could stay out in the wilderness. He doesn't need anybody else. He could do every single one of these, and nothing in this world would ever change. And Jesus did not come into this world to leave it as it is, with us competing with each other and tearing each other apart. Jesus wasn't born into a human mother with a fragile flesh simply so that he could save himself. Jesus came, and he continues to come every single day into our lives to defy our expectations, to do what we know from the very first day we can't do. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot ignore any one of these tests in our lives. They keep driving us from each other, drive wedges between us and our neighbors. They drive us into a deep despair and isolation and a sense of disbelief because we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. When we got to this text, we knew from the first moment that Jesus was going to overcome. And that, friends, is our good news. That's why we read these texts. Because the powers of this world that will tear us down are the same powers that Jesus will overcome. The strength of sin that's within us that keeps us from God's love cannot keep us from God's love. Our inability to keep from reaching for the next opportunity or the next way that we can find the advantage will not stop God from pouring grace upon grace into our lives. Jesus knows exactly how we're thinking, and Jesus will not let us go. So he goes for us, and he confronts all these temptations, every single one that pulls us away from God so he can keep us close. And he cares for us with the most simple of means. He makes us bread, and he feeds us at a meal that binds us back together as a community so that we can see each other. He uses his power to speak a word of grace that frees us from all our fears, and then he takes our death so that we can live. We may see ourselves as witnesses of this text, and it's kind of moving beyond us. And yet, because Jesus bears our flesh, because he breathes our air, because he walks our streets, and he knows what we know, he's taking our place in the wilderness. And he will take our place on the cross. So we are witnessing God's love being lived out for us and for this world. We are watching God's kingdom breaking in and breaking down all the powers and forces that are corrupting this world. We are being brought along by grace because it restores us and it makes us whole. This gospel reveals to us that we can't go it alone. We cannot pull ourselves up. We can't earn enough accolades. We can't pray hard enough. We can't come to worship enough. We can't give enough energy or time, even back over to God. We can't avoid our own death, which is why Jesus goes for us, and he speaks for us, and he loves us, and he loves our neighbors, and he forgives us, all of us, every single one of us. He forgives us every single day, and he brings us back to wholeness, and he renews us in grace, and he assures us that wherever we are, stuck out in the wilderness, stuck in the hospital room, stuck in the back corner of our office, trying to figure out our lives, wherever we are, Jesus is already there, confronting every temptation and every test, speaking for us, loving us, showing us mercy. Because Jesus will be Jesus, and God's kingdom will claim us again. Amen.